Hi, I'm Melissa Hemphill. I am the co-director of Community Outreach and Development, looking after all of our food programs.
And I'm Hannah Whitney, and I manage the food bank.
Okay, so I am doing a story about the First Light Farms raising money and then growing food to give to the food bank. Can you tell me the significance of that to you? How much does it help to get that fresh food?
The significance of that food, it's really fantastic. It means a lot to our clients whenever they get food that's grown locally, because often that can be something that's not very accessible because of price points. And it's nice to feel like you're partaking in your local food sustainability and supporting locally too. And it's great because obviously it's fantastic produce that they bring every single week, and it's like just lovely to give out and hand, have share with people.
Mm-hmm. Such a win-win program. Like, not only do the donations support food coming to the food bank, but they're also supporting young entrepreneurs that are getting started in our food system, producing beautiful food for us. And so it's a great kind of full circle of it all. And we get a delivery every Friday morning once the production starts, of freshly grown organic produce from across the river. Like, it's really quite spectacular.
I'm just wondering, because it is kind of a call for donations. The more money that people donate, the more fresh vegetables that you guys get. Is it hard for you in this like financial era when everything is so tight to ask for money, or how do you go about like expressing your need?
It's a delicate balance. We're seeing significantly more households attending the food bank than we ever have in the past. So we know that a lot of people are struggling in the community to make ends meet, and food is one of the negotiables, right? The bills come in and they're a set amount, and your rent is a set amount, and gas prices are non-negotiable, but your food choices are somewhere that people have some leeway or some opportunity to, I don't know, stretch things to make ends meet, or sacrifice to make ends meet. And so it is a really delicate balance to understand that lots of people in the community are struggling, not just those who attend the food bank. And so while we want to express that not only are those food prices affecting every household, but they're affecting the food bank as well. We have to pay more for food too, with a higher demand of clients and a decrease in donations, because there's less left over to donate. But we also know that there's a lot of wealth in the community. And so we just hope that those who have some extra to give are generous in supporting the food bank, and understanding that that it's situations that people can't often control that cause them to end up at the food bank. And so the support that our community members can provide is super helpful.
I know I talked to you in the fall just about the increased use at the food bank. How did it go this winter?
Yeah, the numbers continue to increase. The numbers fluctuate each month as to how many clients and households we see, but we're hovering around, 800, almost up to 1,000 visits in March. And so while it does ebb and flow a little bit month to month, especially February looks great. It was a shorter month too. More and more families and households are struggling to meet their food needs and are relying on the food bank. So it continues to be a bad news story, unfortunately.
When you say 800 to 1,000 visits, is that total number of people through the door?
Yeah, exactly. And so some of those might be repeats. Some of those might be one time. But we also look at like the unique number of households, and that's hovering around 260 to 285 over the last 3 months. So that's 200 in March, 285 households came through the door at least once in that month. They might have come through weekly, but they came through at least once.
And then a household could be one senior person living alone or a household of two parents and six children. But they would just count as one household. So what those households represent is even more than the visits as well.
And do you have off the top of your head how this compares to before it got so much busier?
Yeah, it's a little bit tricky to compare to pre-pandemic numbers because the food bank was only open one day a week pre-pandemic, and now we're open three times a week. So it's not an A to B comparison there. But we know that pre-pandemic, we saw around 300 households per year. And in 2022, we saw over 700. So it's a really dramatic increase. And this is not just a Revelstoke story, right? We hear about it in all of our neighboring communities around the province, around the country. So that helps us check in with, you know, what's going on in our community and what's going on in our nation. And so it's a consistent issue around Canada. But Revelstoke is seeing growing disparity in people's income and ability to meet their needs. So it's becoming a deeper challenge for many households than it used to be.
What are you hearing from people who are using who may not have before? Is the story kind of different, or what? How are people supplementing their food right now?
I think the story is different. Like, we're getting more people from all types of walks of life, you know, like people who are working full-time jobs and, you know, families supporting more families than I think there were before. And then, you know, everybody who's on assisted incomes and stuff like that. So there's no like one demographic of people who are attending right now.
And is it a lot of people are regulars, or is a lot of people like, oh, I need it this time?
So what we see at the food bank, we talk about it in two different groups of people, those who are living in systemic poverty. So those who can't earn an income in a particular way and therefore rely on government income supports. And so they're held by the system in their level of income and what they can provide for themselves. And then there's those who are in situational poverty. So they've lost a job, they have an illness, their household is breaking up, they're losing their housing for whatever reason. And so those folks have the opportunity or ability or privilege, whatever it is, to get out of that situation eventually. And so it's a temporary situation for them. So we still see both camps coming to the food bank. And yeah, we hear lots of stories of people who have employment, own their home, working multiple jobs, all kinds of stories, but still struggling to make ends meet, and that becoming more and more challenging month by month as inflation continues to rise. And I think it's really interesting. We're going to be taking a look at how food costs have risen here in Revelstoke. The national story is that food costs have risen 10 to 11% over the last year, year and a half. But my suspicion is that it's a much higher percentage here in Revelstoke, and we're hearing a similar story from some neighboring communities as well. And so that is somewhat unique to us, and what contributes to driving folks to needing our food bank.
When should somebody, like, I don't know, I don't want to be presumptuous, but like, it feels like everyone is feeling the pinch right now. When do you, or like, oh my gosh, I should be using the food bank. Like, there's this resource in my community and it could help me. Like, when, I guess it's just personal, but do you guys have any insight on that?
Yeah, so food insecurity is a bit of a spectrum from mild to severe. So severe is regularly skipping meals, not nourishing yourself to support your health and well-being, whereas mild might be you're cutting corners and you're not buying the foods that you'd prefer in order to meet your budget. And so I think we would welcome people to the food bank who find themselves on that spectrum, and that know that getting a little bit of food support from us is going to help other areas of their life, whether that's being able to pay other bills, support their kids in a different way. And the reality is, what is available at the food bank is not going to meet everybody's needs, not completely anyways. And so the idea of a food bank is to supplement one's food needs. And so coming to the food bank and picking up some foods to help you get through that week is appropriate if you're struggling to do that on your own. And if that continues on, then you know, our doors are open. So we want to run that balance between making sure that people can rely on us when they need some help, and also not be stuck in their situation if there's other things that can help them get out of it. And that's why we pair our food bank service with our outreach services, so that they can come in and speak to an expert about their ability to access other government income supports, other support programs in the community, recognizing that food can often be like the red flag or the trigger point that pulls somebody into our door, but that there are other supports and opportunities for supporting people in within our agency and within our community. And so we help to send people in the right direction to meet their needs for their best well-being.
I guess just more about like how people do use it. People access in the ways that they need it. Like sometimes people come every day. Sometimes people come once a month. And then when people do come, sometimes they, you know, shop for their whole week of groceries, or they just come and take a milk and a can of beans or something like that, because they just need that small thing. So, I mean, leaving it up to the clients who access to assess their own needs is kind of the philosophy we move from. So,
Because the cost of everything is going up, so your costs go up too, and you have these like annual, from my perspective, it looks like you have these annual fundraisers that you always do. Are you doing more, or how are you doing? Do you need to be doing more?
Well, that's tricky for us to balance as well, because those events take a lot of time and resources. And so we try to make sure that we do really effective fundraisers and events that make good use of our time and pull in some supportive funding. But also we're trying to be creative in all kinds of different ways of where we order from, getting the best prices we can. We meet regularly with other food banks and talk to them about their food procurement. We're hoping to get involved in a procurement study for food banks in the region to look at what we could be doing collaboratively. Are there relationships that other food banks have with food providers that we could also get in on? Just trying to stretch our dollar as best as possible, and always be in relationship with those food providers so that they can understand their impact and hopefully be able to offer us the best pricing that they can. So it's a constant effort to be ordering the right things, monitoring, like getting the right prices for it, monitoring the budget and where we're at, what our spending's doing, reaching out, engaging with donors, running fundraisers and events, and lots of grant applications and reports. And it's a lot of work to make the dollars work for the whole sustainability of it. It feels like tricky times in terms of high demand, high cost, low donations. And post-COVID, funding is changing big time. When COVID hit, lots of money came in to support vulnerable people. And now that's shifting again. And some of that funding that we've relied on year to year has changed from program funding to capital funding. So it won't pay wages anymore. It won't pay for food anymore. It'll only pay for building pieces. We don't need those anymore. So always looking for new funding opportunities out there, and making our best effort to get what we need to keep things rolling here.
And you were talking about doing a food cost study. Is that something that's happening? Or I guess you'll just let me know when there's anything to say.
It's about advocacy. It's about painting the picture of where the community is at. And, you know, if we're hearing the national story that it's only gone up 10%, but it's gone up 30% here. I don't know if that's the case. We need to look at it. But that's a really important piece of information around affordability, cost of living, and taxation, and all the sorts of things that enter people's financial lives. So it's an interesting point. I know a lot of advocacy has been done over the years about measuring the actual cost of food here in Revelstoke. When we look at, you know, how does Revelstoke measure up against other communities in terms of the cost of living or living wage, because the story has often been different here. I just went to Kelowna and it was hard to stop shopping because the prices were so dramatically different. And I hate to say that. I hate to say it's cheaper somewhere else because I want to support local. But when it comes down to paying your bills and feeding your family, sometimes you have to make some really tough choices that don't meet your values.
I hate to bring this up, but like things are projected to get worse. Gas is projected to get more expensive. Food is, it's supposed to be a hard summer. How are you guys preparing for that?
I think we're doing everything we can do always. It's very rarely a situation of surplus around here. And so we'll be continuing to study the problem as capacity allows, advocating for supports and funding, doing our own pieces around creative procurement and getting the best prices we can, and running the most effective events that we can for fundraising. And hoping to develop some relationships with new and existing donors to help them understand where we're at. We recently toured a community group through the food bank, and they were really expressive about how much they learned in that tour and how one of the quotes was, "I've heard a lot of bad stories about the food bank, and I learned a lot today, and those stories just aren't true." And so that was really meaningful for us, that, you know, taking the time to explain what we do and show them around the space really opened their eyes to how hard we're working here, how much we care, the values we put into the work that we're doing here, and the constant struggle that exists around helping people to meet their needs in this really difficult economic climate. So really hoping to have an open door for folks who are interested in what we're doing here, are curious, maybe a little bit critical about what they think is happening here, so that we can explain what goes on. And we know that we work really hard to help people here, but we need support. We need some help in our ability to do that. So yeah, if you have questions, please call us, come see us, we'd love to share the work that we do.
I just wanted to comment, you meant like the food bank use has gone up so much and the growing disparity in town, because it does seem like just the people that I talk to who can't afford to live here are getting pushed out or don't know where to live, and it, like, nicer buildings are getting built and where trailers used to be, and so it like looks fancier, but then I guess when you come to see these public services, it's like, that's kind of like where the proof is in the pudding, where people are struggling. Do you want to add anything to that?
I think nobody wants food banks to exist. We know that they don't solve food insecurity, that they just support people on a week-to-week or month-to-month basis. And having, I think, do I want to make a prediction? Mm-hmm. My prediction is our numbers continue to go up, and then they're going to start declining because people can't afford to live in the community anymore. And I think that is a massive tragedy, that it is our community members that give this place life and color, and they've contributed so many ideas and efforts to build this community and make it what it is. And it's not just a background or a backyard playground, it's life for people. And I hope that we can recognize the strengths that everybody brings to this community, and celebrate that by looking after each other and understanding our impacts and effects on those around us, and know that Revelstoke is special, and it's going to take a lot of effort to keep it that way by keeping the diversity of people here for a long time.
On like an optimistic note, I guess. I do think that the amount people have been talking about these issues is really important, and it's good to see because this is the beginning of things happening, right? I remember when I first moved here and I first started this job specifically, I always got asked questions like, are there homeless people in Revelstoke? And what do you mean, you know, poverty? It's like a beautiful ski town. I've never seen anyone on the streets begging or anything like that. But that seems to be less and less, and people are more tuned into the fact that there are people struggling, and the amount of people is growing further up in the, you know, economic scale. So I think that's a good place to start because these conversations are really important.
And you mentioned people, I forget the word that you use, but are critical of the food bank. What are their criticisms?
A common criticism of the food bank is that it's a service that gets abused, meaning people who don't need it or they're making choices in their life are coming and using the service when it's not, I don't know, meant for them or that they don't actually need it. And all of that is based on a judgment about people's the details of people's lives that we're really not privy to. And so, you know, you hear terrible things like, oh, they pull up in a nice vehicle, they're wearing nice clothes, what are they doing at the food bank? And really, we've heard so many stories of people in pretty crappy situations, health-wise, employment-wise, housing-wise, that, yeah, they had the nice car and the nice clothes before that situation happened. And now they're really struggling, and the food bank helps them get out of that situation and get back to a well-earning income, and then they turn around and become donors or volunteers. Like, it's quite incredible. And so it's such a consistent thing that we hear and see, that people abuse the food bank, yet we just don't see it. We are very privileged in being in relationship with our clients and getting to know them and their needs and why they're coming to us. If they choose to share it with us, they don't have to. But we explain what the service is for, who it's intended for, and how it can help somebody. And folks get to decide if that's a good fit for them or not. And it's not unheard of for people to come in, hear that information and go, oh, okay, this isn't for me. And away they go. Or, oh, okay, well, this would really help me next week, but I probably don't need to come again. Or to say, oh, I get it. Do you need some volunteers? So we just, yeah, there's this fear. I think it's around most charities that money isn't well used. And it sure is. It's really stretched as far as it can go. And I explained the care, the effort, the stress that goes into keeping this going. And the bottom line is we don't want our work to go to waste either. And so we work very hard to ensure that our supports are getting to the right people in the right ways. Bottom line.